All three of the local schools got road wins last night. Missouri at Ole Miss, K-State at Texas, and Kansas at Oklahoma. To talk college hoops now is our man Greg Gurley. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning, buddy. How are you? You calmed down a little bit. I was listening. You're a little fired up.
Yeah, Stephen was pushing buttons. He got me all wound up. I'm good.
Well, it's not hard to get you wound up. I love it, though. Passionate.
I mean, do you want to take Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes? Do you think he's is he higher on your confidence rating?
Hell no.
Thank you.
Well, we also got to consider the source. We're basing this all off of Mike Greenberg's opinion.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. It just happens to be on all the TV. There's three TV monitors in here, and they all, you know, and I just looked up, and I was like, what are we even doing here right now? Anyway, what's your...
Well, the good part will be as we watch ESPN all day, it'll be on the crawl, like, all day. It'll be really annoying.
Yep. And that, hey, I guess that's what they want. Get us talking. Get everybody fired up. You know, let's see if we can have a hot take that outsmarts everybody. Are you driving back from Oklahoma right now?
I am. I'm in the Flint Hills, the lovely Flint Hills.
Beautiful. Gorgeous this time of year.
Correct. Right by El Dorado Lake. It's a lake that has all the trees growing out of it. It looks kind of, doesn't look like a real good boating lake.
I think that's like for the fishing, though, isn't it? And it's El Dorado.
Yeah.
In Kansas, it's like the plaza. It's not the plaza. It's the plaza. It's El Dorado.
Yeah, and I don't fish, so you're probably right.
I don't either. How about that win last night, huh? The Jayhawks over the Sooners, and they end up getting a couple big baskets from Christian Brown and Ochai Agbaji, but for much of the game, the Sooners did a really good job of quieting those two guys. Tell me what maybe impressed you the most about the Jayhawks' win last night.
Well, start with the negatives. I think that the droughts that we go on are a little concerning. We had the 9-minute drought in Stillwater yesterday. After going up by 10 in the second half, we let them go on a 20-4 run, and in there we had about a 5-minute non-scoring drought. So that's a little concerning, but the positives are we play through it and we get wins on the road after doing that. So we got to have a way that we, you know, when we need a bucket, we can't turn it over, obviously, and get an empty possession, which in that run, we made some careless plays and all that, but just the resolve to have everything going against you, a lot of it's self-inflicted, but everything going against you, and then you step up and make big shots. And the two guys that did it have been the two guys that have been there all year, Christian Brown and Ochai. And they've been the most efficient and, I mean, everything they've done this year, they've done it in a way where they haven't been volume shooters. They've done it very efficiently, and they've been the most productive consistently. Now, it's great to see Jalen Wilson back-to-back good offensive outputs, 23 the other day, led the team in scoring yesterday. It was kind of, if you can have a quiet 18, he kind of had a quiet 18. You know, he kind of spaced shots in the first half, made a big three when we were on that run. So total team effort, you take it on the road any way you can get it.
How concerned should we be about Ochai's wrist?
It seems like not much. They did x-rays, talked to him after the game. He was, you know, the real thing with hands and broken hands is you can move your fingers, obviously. And he was making a fist back and forth. So it sure appears to be good. They, like I said, they x-rayed it, and right away there was nothing on there. So he's able to come back. It's probably going to be nagging. The great thing is it's on his left hand. I was worried when it happened just because of Doak over the last 5 to 6 years when he did – when he tore a ligament in both of his wrists, and I'm like, oh, boy, could it be that again? And luckily it was more of a bruise. Or, I mean, it was right in front of us, and everything on our press row table shot into our lap. I mean, he hit that thing hard. It's hard to move those things, and he moved it a couple feet. Great hustle play. If Bill had it back, he'd probably say, hey, let the next one go out of bounds. We can't risk having you out for the year.
So he does come back and hit a couple big shots, and you referenced Jalen Wilson, and really it's three of his last four games he's really had good offensive outputs. The Iowa State game, he was quiet, but before that he had 20 against Texas Tech, 23 against West Virginia, and then the 16-point game last night against Oklahoma. If they have him, producing at this level, you're talking about three players on the perimeter, three wing players that can all score, that have pretty good length to them. That changes the whole complexion of this team, doesn't it, going forward, if they've got this kind of Jalen Wilson performing?
Oh, for sure. So many options. It reminds me of, if you look back to 2018 with the three-headed monster we had with Malik, Svi, and Devontae. I don't know if they're at that level yet, but Christian and Ochai are playing like that. And in different games, you know, more of a, obviously a point guard with Devontae that could really score. Svi was a standstill shooter, but CB can get to the lane a little better, finish in transition, finish at the rim. Just the biggest shot of his career last night, which Ochai, I mean, Oklahoma did a great job. Give him credit. They bottled him up and knew that Bill Self was going to go to Ochai just to create. And then he pitched out to Christian. Might have even taken it a little bit early. There was seven on the shot clock, but can't question him when he makes it. And then he makes the two big free throws to get the victory. So, yeah, those three guys and Jalen Wilson, when he starts seeing the ball go through the hoop, we see what kind of momentum and confidence that he gets. And he's been great. And I really thought the other night when he had his career high on Saturday against West Virginia, he really passed the ball well. Had 23, 5 assists, got everybody involved, and really did a nice job of managing the game, not forcing it. He was efficient. So those three guys, if you get those lanes of the basket open and they start making threes like they have been, that opens things up for David and everybody else. I'm not even talking about Remy Martin, who's been a non-factor this entire Big 12 season. He's going to be there in the end. Right now, he's just kind of getting back from an injury. But, I mean, Remy Martin, we forget, and it's preseason, and no one really cares about that. The coaches picked him as the preseason player of the year in our league, and he's done nothing in to get us to 4-1, which I think is a good thing, because once he really starts going, man, we're a dangerous team.
And he played 15 minutes last night, and I do think the one thing that when I watch Martin play, though, it's like trying to figure out, I'm a scorer, but I've got these other guys all around me now that I've never had before that might even be better scorers than me. Where do I find my shot? When do I find my shot? When do I facilitate while he's trying to come back from injury as well? What did you make of the 15 minutes that he was able to play last night?
Well, he looked rusty. He looked like a guy who hadn't practiced much. He looked like a guy who was forcing things. I made one shot, and then a couple trips later, took an ill-advised 23-footer, and that drew the ire of Bill Self. And in between there, I think he had a turnover where he just fumbled it and had KJ underneath for a dunk. So, you know, with Bill and Remy, it's an interesting dynamic, and Remy came here and he wants to win. And he said, hey, I know I averaged 19 points a game last year, but he was almost this season early on too unselfish. And now he's gotten to the point where I wouldn't call him selfish by any means. It's just kind of like what you said. I got to get mine. It's my turn. And when that goes away, that's when everybody's on the same page and you take the shots when you're open. You don't force things. You got plenty of options. And he just, quite honestly, has to trust his teammates. So he's going to be a big, big factor for us down the stretch.
Hey, I'm just curious your thoughts on, now that you've seen it up close, the Porter Mosier Oklahoma team. They talked a lot on the TV broadcast last night about the scouting report defense that the Sooners can play with him. What were your first impressions of the Oklahoma Sooners now led by him and what stood out to you?
Well, I like the way he coaches. I think he's really intense. You can tell that his players play hard. They play good defense, but they struggle a little bit. They got good fundamentals and all that, but Tanner Groves, not a great defender, and he struggles against athletes. But they got, you know, between Hill and Harkless, and I really like Cortez, kind of gave them a spark. So they've got a team that, and the coaching staff, just so active, and I enjoyed watching them coach and talking to their radio guys and other guys. They're like, they love this staff. So good things to come for Oklahoma. That's a good basketball team that we beat on the road.
So the Jayhawks are 4-1 now. Texas Tech and Baylor right behind at 4-2. And Baylor lost two games in a row before winning at West Virginia last night. How many losses is the Big 12 champ going to end up with this year?
Well, I think if you go, I think 14-4 will win it. I think 13-5, win it outright. I think 13-5 can you get a share of it. The math problem is win all your games at home and try to go, you know, 5-4 on the road. And Kansas has done that many, many times. And so, I mean, Baylor has done it. You know, you just got to defend your home court, pick up a few wins. Kansas already with a couple wins on the road. Had a great opportunity on Saturday to get our third at K-State. But, man, have they turned the corner after some disappointing losses. Huge win for them last night on the heels of the Sunflower Showdown. So, the Dylan Sunflower Showdown.
Thank you.
Mark Tuttle will be happy that I use that the Dylan Sunflower Showdown. I get credit for that. But it's gonna be fun going up there. They always have a great crowd, and they're playing with a lot of momentum and confidence right now. They just knocked off two of the best teams in the Big 12, with Texas Tech at home and then at Texas in Austin. So they were just unfortunate, those four losses, because they led in the second half of all of them. So the record doesn't show it, but believe me, Bill Self and his staff know how good Kansas State is.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic game on Saturday. The Dylan's Sunflower Showdown. We'll make sure we keep Mark Tuttle very happy. K-State is in a three-way tie for last place in the Big 12 with Oklahoma and Iowa State. And that kind of tells you everything you need to know about how good this conference is from top to bottom. And now that K-State's kind of getting back to full strength and they've got Bruce Weber back on the sideline, those two big wins that you mentioned, this game's going to be terrific. And the Wildcats, another team that plays really good scouting report defense. What are the biggest challenges for the Jayhawks when it comes to facing that defensive squad of K-State?
Well, you said it. Anytime you play a Bruce Weber team, they're always really solid defensively and making pressure, and they're tough, play physical. So you got to understand that. And we haven't done a great job of valuing the ball and taking care of the ball. We didn't have a ton of turnovers last night. 12 isn't terrible, but it was the timing of them. When Oklahoma was on that run, we just didn't take care of it, and they were careless stuff. So we need to make sure that we do a better job in Manhattan, because K-State will take it from you. So, you know, they're good offensively, not great, but I can't remember his name, the new guy from Little Rock. He's a small player, but really, really fast. And that changes things for Kansas State when you throw them in with McGurl and Pack and others. They've got a good team. They just were, again, unlucky. Some of it's self-inflicted, but some of it's just college basketball. But we got to make sure and not read the records and the standings, because last place doesn't mean a whole lot in this league. They're much better than that.
Marquise Noel is the player that you're talking about. 5'8", 155 pounds. It reminds me of a very sleek Nate Buchady at some point in my life.
Is he, like, do you have one of his jerseys, or is that like your idol now?
I absolutely respect any 5'8" player that can find a way onto a Division I basketball court. I wish I was 155 pounds at this point in my life.
Well, hold on a second. You wish you were 5'8".
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough. He's a good player, though. And I will say this, too. He's a transfer. But, you know, just last week when K-State had blown a lead against TCU, and Bruce Weber was coming under some serious fire from some of the K-State fans, Marquise Noel talked in the post game after that game and said, look, this isn't the coach's fault. He's doing a great job. He's a great coach. He kind of stood up for his coach, and then they've backed it up with two big wins right after that. But I think it's of note, we're not talking about a guy that's been at K-State for 4 years, and he's a transfer. Like you said, he was at Arkansas Little Rock for the past 4 years, and that says something right there, that in a short period of time, he already has that kind of commitment toward Bruce Weber and that basketball team to be that kind of a leader.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, I say it all the time. Coaches get way too much credit, way too much criticism. I mean, Bill Self gets a ton of credit last night for Christian Brown making a big shot. Was it really Bill Self's coaching or Bruce Weber's coaching that lost the game against TCU? No. Players make the plays, and coaches got to own it. But Noel obviously had his back, as he should. And like you said, he's a transfer. He's probably only been around about 6 months, but Bruce Weber's had an impact on him. He's going to defend him, and that's what it takes to have a successful season is players that have your back and coaches that have players' back.
Another player that's a transfer for K-State that's been making a big difference is Mark Smith. He had 22 last night, and Steven pointed out to us, because Steven keeps track of all the guys that transferred away from Missouri, that at 6'4", Mark Smith is the leading rebounder in the Big 12 so far this year. How much does that surprise you, Greg?
Well, that's a very specific stat. I wonder where he found that. That's a lot of research. So it's just all 6'4" players?
No. He leads all the Big 12 in rebounding. That's the stat. I just pointed out that he's a 6'4" guard.
I got you.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's. He really dug deep on that one.
He's the leading rebounder for everyone that's 6'4". No, he's leading everyone regardless of size. He's the leading rebounder in all of the Big 12.
I got you. No, that's impressive. I mean, you know, rebounding is so much about attitude and positioning. It's athleticism and size has a lot to do with it, obviously. But when you're a smart player and you know how to get angles and block out and do some things and be around the ball. I mean, Jalen Wilson's like that. Jalen Wilson's maybe 6'7", maybe probably more like 6'6", but man, he's a great rebounder, just like Mark Smith. So some guys just have it.
So last question for you, Greg. When we talk about this race, Baylor, the number one ranked team in the country, they did drop two games in a row before winning at West Virginia last night. What do you make of the Bears now at this point?
Well, I mean, obviously they drop a couple at home, which is very, very rare for them, and they just haven't been used to that over the last couple of years. But shows you how tough this league is. But they're going to be there come March because they're too good. They're so perimeter oriented. They've got great guards. We saw what they did last night. You know, Meyer is a guy that, you know, some games he won't really do much, and then games like last night he had 5 threes, and then another. You know, we talk about Flagler and Meyer and Akinjo. But last night, I think it was Lytle that also had 5 threes, a guy that you haven't really talked about at all this year, and he goes out. So they've got to do what Baylor's done, you have to have depth, and you got to have guys on the bench because you replaced three great guards last year in Teague, Mitchell, and Butler. So the depth, he's not building a program. He's built a program, and that's how you maintain. You get a few transfers in there, too. There's no question about that. But Baylor's going to be there at the end of the year because their guards are just too good.
Are you going to stop at Brahms in Emporia?
Probably not. You know, I'm doing that intermittent fasting, so I try to make it till, you know, noon, 12:30. And I've seen a lot of Brahms in my five-hour drive to Norman. So I thought about you, but I didn't get any.
Jake's nodding very approvingly at the intermittent fasting thing. You do that every day, Jake?
Oh, yeah.
And obviously you can tell with how good I look that it's working, right?
Well, here's the question. It doesn't matter how good you look. How do you feel?
I feel great.
There you go.
I started doing it about 2 years ago. Yeah, definitely changes things. If I could knock out the alcohol and terrible food that I eat, it'd be even better.
Well, hey, baby steps, right?
Yeah, one step at a time. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. What do you got for the final score of the Chiefs game on Sunday?
Chiefs 35, Buffalo 21.
That's right. 35-21. Wow. You got him won by two touchdowns. Greg Gurley.
I'm gonna go over to one of your great sponsors, Jason Gudenkauf's house. Watch the game like we've done for the past 3 years. And you know, have at it. I just heard his commercial with his toll free number that starts with an 816. Never figured that one out, but that's Jason for you.
Well,
get to the bottom of that for us.
Yeah, that's right. Greg, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll be listening to you on Saturday with Brian Haney as you guys are on the call of the Dillon's Sunflower Showdown.
That's right. The Dillon's Sunflower Showdown, Saturday in Manhattan.
Keeping all the sponsors happy. That's Greg Gurley, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.